After coming back from India, we both are still going through the allergies, the pollution and the dust that we had to live through for over 3 weeks. Is my mic on? Okay. So we are still under it. My sinus is still acting up a little bit, so if I cough or sneeze, that's not on purpose. I've been thinking about this morning to speak on a couple of subjects past several weeks, and one of them was the second coming of Christ. And last Sunday, when I was seated at the back there, throughout the morning, I could see a string of thought that was flowing about the second coming in many ways, songs, words, prayers, although that was not the primary thought that day, but I saw a continuous flow of that same thought, and that I said, the Lord is telling me to speak on this subject because it was already in my mind. It is a very vast and extended subject to study about the second coming of Christ. This morning I will attempt to give you a glimpse of what is yet to come in the near future. I had a little slide, I thought I can show it, but it's not ready. Our system somehow didn't work. But what is there to come in the future, a subject called eschatology, is a very vast subject. Many years ago we did a study here at the chapel, perhaps it may be time to repeat it. But this morning, out of that eschatology, things yet to come, there is a number of things in that we can study. The very first thing to happen next is, in that study, is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or generally spoken as the rapture of the church. I will give you an overview of what is yet to come, then we'll come back and concentrate just on the subject of rapture this morning. You only need to turn to the newspaper or turn on the TV or your cell phone just to see how Bible prophecies are being fulfilled on a very regular basis. There has been more prophecies fulfilled in the 20th century than all the previous 19 centuries put together. If your eyes and ears are open to understand what's going on around us. I think we, most of us in this room, I believe that that time is approaching very rapidly. It is very closer than many of us think or even consider. The subject of eschatology is a very vast subject. Like I said, there is a book. If you want to study the book, study that subject. My recommendation will be the book written by Dr. Dwight Pentecost, who has written a book on that, very extensive study. It's very easy to go through. It's only 700 pages. So I recommend strongly to study that book if you are any interest in the book subject of eschatology. Many years ago, I went through that and we did a study here. In John chapter 16, verse 13, we won't read a lot of verses. I'll give you references only. The Lord said, when the Holy Spirit come, He will show you things to come. Of course, it was an indirect reference to the book of Revelation, but the Spirit of God, when He came, He did show what is yet to happen by the writings of the apostles, and of course, in an extensive way from the book of Revelation. The coming righteous kingdom is a theme that we can see throughout the scriptures from the very beginning to the end. God has a plan, a righteous king and a righteous kingdom to establish here on this earth. That plan has not changed. God does not change plans as time goes on. He has a plan to establish His kingdom. He has a plan to bring a righteous king into this world. And the main theme throughout the Bible, we can see there is a plan that God is going to establish a kingdom here on this earth. There are many Bible prophecies that speak about this coming kingdom. And some of the verses we know is in Genesis chapter 49, we read the very beginning itself. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people. A prophecy about the coming kingdom and a king. And in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 5 we read, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The world is waiting for this. Everybody is looking for a king and a kingdom and a peaceful reign on earth. And God has the same plan, and it is going to happen. Well, it's not only simply in the New Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, Luke chapter 1 verse 31 to 33, we read, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him, listen to this, God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So it is not only simply in the Old Testament, but we also see the same prophecy in the New Testament. The Lord himself, the angel was talking to Mary about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will have a kingdom in the throne of, sitting in the throne of David, and there shall be no end for his kingdom. God promised Israel a kingdom, and God, there will be a kingdom, no question, and he does not change. So in that plan of the kingdom to come, where are we today? We know the first time when the Lord came to this earth, many thought that is the time that he was going to establish the kingdom. They came and asked him, many people asked, the disciples thought they will be sitting with him, establish the kingdom, they will be ruling with him. But God had a different plan, which most of them did not understand at the time. The first coming of Jesus was given him to the world, and the second coming, the world will be given to him at the establishment of the kingdom. Just as David was chosen many years before that he became a king, he was anointed king, but he didn't become a king immediately. He waited for God's timing to establish the kingdom. So that is pretty much a sign that the Lord, yes, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, no difference on that, but he hasn't seated on the throne yet. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. As some of the songwriters have written about him. Now, what are the just events of, my slide is not up here, but what are the events that is just about to come in the future? First thing, as I said, is the rapture of the church. We will come to that in a little more detail. But the very soon after the rapture is happened, the church is taken, we will be with the Lord, and up in the heavens with the Lord, we will be going through standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that judgment seat of Christ is not to punish us, but to reward, to evaluate your life and your service here on this earth. And every one of us, I personally believe, it will be an individual judgment before Christ. And I have said it this before, before also here. One of the most fearful thing in my mind is when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, how will my life be? Beloved, take it very seriously. Everything that we do here on this earth, you're going to leave behind. Either the Lord will come today or you die. Everything that you aspire, you hold on to, you have, you possess, you will be leave behind. But you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer to him for what you have done or you have not done. The opportunities you are given to you, and you used and you did not use. And you shall be held accountable that day before Christ. So judgment seat will be the happening there up in heaven. Meanwhile, here on this earth, for the 7-year period, there will be something called the Great Tribulation. Well, there is tribulation today, sufferings here, all kinds of problems we go through. But the scriptures talk about the Great Tribulation, which is a 7-year period during the time we will be up in heaven with the Lord. After the end of that 7-year period, we read that the Lord said, the angels, when the disciples were standing on the Mount Olive and the Lord was taken up, the angel said, this Jesus, same Jesus, just as you have seen him go, shall return to the same place. That is not going to happen at rapture. We'll come to that in a minute. When he comes back to the earth, you and I, who have been taken before 70 years prior to that, we will be coming back to him. A lot more details on that, maybe as another time. And soon after that, there will be the kingdom, the new kingdom established, as everybody is waiting for. The Israel is waiting for a 1,000-year peaceful establishment of God's kingdom here on this earth. Him being the King of Kings and every child of God ruling along with him here on this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, Peter says this earth will be burned and it will be removed from scene, and a new heaven and a new earth will come. And on that new heaven and a new earth, we see the great the heavenly Jerusalem coming down, a beautiful scene of that in the book of Revelation. And then we enter into eternity. Just a brief, this is the brief summary of 700 pages, I said. So it is a very brief overlook of what is yet to come. But this morning I want our attention to turn the remainder of our time to the rapture part alone. And I will not just stop at the rapture, but I want to look at some very practical application based on the anticipation of his coming. What are we supposed to do? So some of the things that Paul tells us, we will look at that also before we close. The word rapture simply means snatching away or just catching up. A very similar or same word is used in a couple of places in the book of Acts, when Acts chapter 8, when Philip was taken away from one place, he was kind of moved, taken away from one place to another. That is the meaning there. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about that he was taken up into the third heaven and he had a vision of the Savior. A very similar meaning, catching up or snatching away is the meaning there. The word rapture means, that's all it means. And there will be a second phase, that will be the first phase of his second coming, the rapture of the church. Every child of God who put their trust in Christ last 2,000 years, or those who will trust him today, if the Lord doesn't come another week, everyone who trusts in him in the coming week, the last the person who comes to the Lord, and he alone knows when that is, and the time and the date belongs to the Father and nobody else. The Lord himself said that he knows the time, and we will not predict any time. But from the signs and the things that are happening around us, the Spirit of God has given us the discernment and understanding to understand the time. How close are we? So we will probably look at some of them. There are three passages basically in the New Testament, more than that, but a clear indication, clear description of the coming of the Savior. What happens at the rapture? Number one, chapter 14 of John. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, the Lord himself is speaking to his disciples here. He said, I shall go and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He is the one who promised that he will come and God's people will be taken to be with him. Where he is, we shall be also. We are all looking forward to go to heaven, which is good. Heaven is where he is. That's what he said. Where I shall be, you shall be. You will be with me also forever. We won't spend too much time on that. This is the promise of our Savior, the one who promised he will come. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 to 56, Paul explains what exactly happens when the Lord comes. What are the changes that is going to happen? How our bodies and our physical nature shall be changed into the nature and similarity of his own nature. Nature in the sense of the physical change. Paul extensively talks about that. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. The word mystery simply means it is a truth that has been hidden, which has not been revealed before. Now I am going to reveal the truth. It was nothing new. God's plan was there all eternity, but it was not revealed to the people until that moment. Here is the mystery that Paul is talking about. He says, we shall not all sleep. Many of our dear ones, my parents, my little girl whom I lost 30 years ago, one brother I lost, I shouldn't use the word lost because they are not lost. Many of our dear ones who has entered into glory, Paul says, we shall not sleep. And then what will happen? But we shall be changed. Believers, we, all of us go through so much difficulties, pain, suffering, sickness. You name them that we every day we go through. But the change is coming. Paul says, we shall not sleep, but we shall be changed. How soon? In a moment, he says. In the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? All of you try this for a second with me. Just do this one time. Just twinkling of an eye. How long it take? It is nanosecond, I should say. Of that time, we shall be changed. The Lord doesn't need a week to change us. It just, before you think, the Lord will come, we shall be changed, everything done in that moment. And when? At the last trumpet. The word trumpet is an interesting word. If you look at the old, throughout the scriptures, trumpet is generally used when the trumpet is blown, people of God are gathered together. Israel, especially in their journey through the wilderness, whenever the trumpet was blown, they know it is time to come together. So here Paul says the last trumpet, which means the gathering of the people, his people, this is the last trumpet that is going to blow. Of course, when you come to book of Revelation, trumpets are mentioned in a different sense. But the gathering of the people by a trumpet is, Paul says, this is the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, we shall be changed. I can't really wait. All of us, I am sure, if you are a child of God, looking for His coming, we can all together say, I can't wait for that day when everything will be changed. Then the third passage, the first one is John 14, the second one we looked at is 1 Corinthians 15 verse 49, and the third one, which is the most important in that one, and most of us, we know this passage very well, that we're going to spend a little time on that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 to 18. You know this verse very well. I'm sure you heard about it. Perhaps you also preached about this. Paul says that what are the events that will take place at the time of rapture? Just suppose the Lord comes today. What are the events that will take place in that twinkling of an eye? For the Lord Himself shall descend. It is very important to notice, when our salvation was accomplished, God could have used an angel to save us. God could have just said, sit in heaven and commanded the salvation of each one of us. He could do it because He is God. But He chose to come down. He chose to become a man, which we have been remembering this morning. He chose to suffer for our sins and He went back to heaven. But when it comes to the gathering of His people, you and I, back to be with Him, He could have done the same thing. He could just send the angel and say, you go gather my people and bring them back to me. Oh, it is so amazing that my Lord is coming Himself. And He will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. And with the trumpet of God, we just saw the trumpet earlier. It will be the trumpet of God that will blow. He Himself in person, just as He came in person for the first coming, He is going to come in person. How far He is going to come? Not to the earth at this time, but He will come to the midair, somewhere between earth and heaven. And then Paul says there in the following statements, with the trumpet of an angel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Every child of God from first century until today, or until the moment the Lord comes, everyone who died in Christ, remember the underline the word in Christ, because it's very important to know that some of theological truth is there in that word in Christ. All those who will rise when the Lord Jesus comes to the midair is that those who are dead in Christ and nobody else. It may sound rude, not Abraham, not David, no Old Testament saints. Anyone who died in Christ, and they will rise that day. Including 55 million kids, North Americans murdered the last 50 years. They will rise again when the trumpet sounds. And they will rise first. Just imagine the picture. Millions and millions of God's people. The scripture says those who are burned ashes, the ashes will give away the bodies. Those who died in the ocean were disintegrated and gone into the bellies of fishes and everywhere. The system will bring it back together to put the body together as a glorified body. Everything will give it back. Then Paul says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Those who are dead in Christ shall rise from their graves, and wherever they are, whether in the ocean, in the ashes, in the woods, they fly away, wherever they may be, or disintegrated under the ground, they will rise again, but not as the body that was put down there with all the sickness and problems. A glorified body. Paul really explains in 1 Corinthians when he talks about that. Sometimes if you read back and see, go back to that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see Paul really explains what changes will take place. What are the kind of bodies, what are the nature of body, character of bodies, and what will be the change. One thing for sure I know, at least our bodies will be able to travel in the split of a second from here to heaven. And this body cannot do that now. If that's the case, I'll be going to India every day. This body cannot travel like that. But that body, when it changes, it can go from one place to another at the moment tingling of an eye. That will be the type of body that you and I will receive. And when we rise again. And the living shall be caught up together. We will be together up in the air, meeting the Savior who is waiting for us, who came down from heaven with the trumpet and the sound and the archangel. One thing, why archangel? Why archangel? The Lord could have just come by himself. We read that the airs, the upper airs, are the dominion of the evil one today. So the archangel is coming together. This is my assumption. The archangel is coming together to make sure there is nothing goes wrong. This may be a foolish thinking, but he is coming together to make sure there is no problem, that the children of God and the Lord is caught up together in heaven. But we shall be with him to meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine that day? You and I rising up, glorious Lord Jesus Christ coming up to the midair. We meet him face to face. We see him today in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our faith. We see his glorious face today through faith. But that day we will see him face to face. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. Thus we shall be always with the Lord. Saying bye to one another is a painful thing. We have said bye to our dear ones. Many of us travel many parts of the world. We meet with God's people, enjoy fellowship together. You know, at the end of the day, we find it very difficult to say bye to them. But we have to. We go visit our families sometime. We meet with them, we enjoy time together, fellowship with them. We have a good time with them, live for a few weeks or maybe months. There will come a day We just have to say bye to them. It is a painful thing to say bye to anybody whom we love. But not here anymore. Paul says, thus we shall be with the Lord always. That simply means there is no more bye between him and us. We will be with him wherever he is. When he is in heaven, we are with him. When he comes down to this earth to establish the kingdom, we will be with him. When he is here seated on the throne of David, establishing the kingdom, we will be with him. We shall never, ever, ever will depart from him. It gives me goosebumps when I think of that. Never to depart from him. And always with him. This is the hope of every Christian. Every person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, has come to know him, put their faith in him, put their trust in him. This is the hope of every one of us. Whether you are hoping, you are looking forward or not, it doesn't matter. This is the end of every one of us. But let me pause for a moment here. I don't know if there is any one person, an young man, an young child, someone who in this room, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, perhaps today is the day. Because it is quite possible he may come tonight. It's absolutely possible he may come before I finish my message here. The Lord Jesus Christ can come at any moment and you will be lost thereafter. No chance. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, please, I beg and I plead with you, please consider. Take him up, believe him, believe in him. He paid so much for, he paid all the price and did so much for you. Why will you say no to him? But the Lord is coming very soon. That is the hope of every believer. All our pains, sufferings, goodbyes, sickness, death and separation will come to an end. We shall be with him. And thus we shall be with the Lord forever and with our believing dear ones who entered into the glory before us. We shall be ushered to the presence of them and we shall meet them face to face again. And if you know somebody, if you are thinking about somebody who has gone into glory before you, just be patient, you're going to see him. You know, when our funeral takes place for believers, we often say this is simply a temporary sleep here. Because Paul also used the word here earlier, we shall not sleep. It is simply a long sleep for them. It is not a goodbye for them. I remember one dear sister, husband died, and her friends at work were all coming to and comfort him and saying, I'm sorry to hear you lost your husband. And the dear sister said, no, I didn't lose my husband. Yeah, something lost is that you don't know where it is. Something lost means you can't find where it is. I know where exactly my husband is and I'm going to see him very soon. If you know our dear ones who know the Lord, they are not lost. We know exactly where they are and there's a day coming. We will see him, see every one of them. Well, what are the signs? I want to give you a little bit of a glimpse of some signs that are taking place. Like I said, I believe personally, the Lord's coming is much sooner, very soon, sooner than you and I think. I have noted down about 16 different things that has fulfilled or being fulfilled right now, right before our eyes, which indicates the coming of our Savior or getting closer to that. Indications of the last times. This is all from the scripture which is being fulfilled today. Number one, as many all of us know, it's the formation of the state of Israel. Luke chapter 21 verse 29. We won't take time to read. I have reference for all this. The rise of many new nations. Nations are rising up in different parts of the world. Luke 21 and 29 again. The return of Israel to the land of the unbelief. The return of Israel. Israel has come back to their nation But if you go to Israel today, they are probably majority of them, some of them don't even believe there is a God existing. They are unbelieving the nation, but they have come back to their place where they are supposed to be. Watch out, the so-called ecumenical movement around the world, saying that we are all one. I don't know, some time back I had received a picture of the leaders of the Catholic Church, the Hinduism, Muslim leaders, and few other religious leaders all together on one platform, and they all together said, we are all one. The ecumenical movement that is happening around the world today, it is a clear indication that it will happen, Revelation 17 verse 18. And that's already taking place around the globe. The worldwide increase in the belief and practice of Spiritism, it may not be very evident sometime. It is all over the world. It is ever increasing. It is not decreasing. The belief and practice of Spiritism, it is not just limited to the African nations. It is in India. It is here in this country. It is in Dallas. It is probably in Louisville. It is everywhere in belief of Spiritism in some form or fashion. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 to 3. The drastic decline of moral standard. Do I need to repeat that? The drastic decline of moral standards around the globe. Don't just blame America. Go to India. Go to China. Go to anywhere in the world. The drastic decline of moral standards, says Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Violence and civil disobedience. Oh, that has gone up even the last week. Just look around. The violence and civil disobedience in the most peaceful countries of earth. Here in this country, go to New York, go to California, go to anywhere. People are always in rebellion and violence and disobedience and murder in schools, neighborhoods, you name them. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. People with a form of godliness. This is the most fearful one I have. I have probably spoken about this in the past. People with a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Churches are full of it. Unfortunately, even some assemblies, I should say. People may have a form of godliness, some religious practice. So go to Sunday morning on a Lord's Day, if possible. If I got enough sleep in the morning. Just being there for the sake of religion, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it is the biggest problem in the assemblies today and churches everywhere, including anywhere you go. I want you to think this, but are you in that category or not, is the challenge this morning. For Paul says, this will be the sign, the rise of anti-Christian spirit. Look around. Don't just blame India. Sometimes we say there's a lot of opposition and anti-Christian. Yes, it is true. But it is everywhere. Right here in Dallas. Can you go out and give a tract? No. They will say, no, it's not allowed here. Anti-Christian spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Then we read the tendency of nations to confederate along the lines of approximately the same lineup of latter day. Meaning, the prophecy says that nations will come together when they will make agreements. A different study for by itself. That is happening already. The European common market, Daniel chapter 2 verse 32 to 35. Denial of the impending intervention of God in the affairs of the world by way of judgment. You got to tell anybody, God is coming to judge this world. They will laugh at you. Judgment and hell, if you talk to anybody, they will simply laugh at you. They don't believe. They think they have things in control. Denial of an impending intervention of God in the affairs of the world by judgment. We often wonder, what is God doing? Why is he not judging it? Why is he not jumping out and do something about it? Yes, he is going to do it. Just be patient. His time is coming. But the world around us, anybody you talk to, they are denying that there will not be a judgment coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Increase. I had a chart. Unfortunately, I don't have it with me. Increase in earthquakes. Somebody has put on a chart last 2000 years of the number of earthquakes that is taking place. If you look at the chart, 2000 was here, a year ago it was here. It's going like this. It has peaked out. The numbers are counting everywhere. There is the last week there was one, big one somewhere. Where was it? I forgot. Albania. The increase of earthquakes, threat of worldwide famine. Just because we have too much to eat, we just had a Thanksgiving leftovers and for months you can eat. Just because you have enough to eat, don't believe that there is people in the world are like that. I come across people not having one meal sometime in a day. You may not call it a famine. The governments won't call it a famine because it will look bad on them. There is famine all over the world, even God's people. Failure of governments to maintain law and order and to suppress terrorism. The biggest powerful nation on earth has been trying for the last 20 years. No success. Finally, they won't use the word, but gave up and coming slowly back. They cannot, no nation on earth can control, put the things in order until the King of Kings comes and he takes over. The building of nuclear arsenals by all nations around the world. People are trying to stop everybody else. America will try to stop North Korea, North Korea will stop, try to stop South Korea, South Korea will try to stop China, and goes on. Everybody is trying to stop everybody else, but everybody else is building up. The build-up of the nuclear arsenal. Well, I don't have it with me now. Just think about this. When the TV came, everybody thought, this is the end of the world. Smartphones, social media, you can reach people, split of a second, anywhere around the globe. This all means something to the end times. Things are going to happen. Is that enough? That's about 16 of them I gave you, things that has fulfilled. Now, Paul, before I close, I have very limited time here. I'm going to quickly go over this. When we go to that chapter again for one moment, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to two passages. The one verse before, he is talking about the second coming of Christ. He is beginning to say, for the Lord himself shall descend. That's verse 16. Go back to verse 11. He talks about the rapture of the church, sandwiched between two passages which we very often miss. We talk about the rapture or the second coming, we forget what he said before that, and we also forget what he is saying after that. I was impressed by Paul's writing that in the middle of that, he's talking about the coming of Christ, he put a verse there and put some verses at the end. We're going to quickly look at within the 5 minutes. Look at verse 11. What am I supposed to do if the Lord is coming tonight? So what, as a believer, as a Christian, what is your responsibility? What is mine? What am I supposed to do? Verse 11 says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Three things Paul talks about it in that chapter, in that one verse. Number one, you lead a quiet life. I'll explain what he means by that. To mind your own business. 2000 year old problem. Mind your own business, Paul says. And work with your own hands, as I have commanded. Three things Paul put before the coming of the Christ that you and I are supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Aspire to lead a quiet life. That simply means don't be looking at to be on the higher pedestal all the time. If your name doesn't come in the Time magazine, don't worry about it. If the name is not up there in the world stage, don't worry about it. Lead a quiet life. Last 2000 years, there are many hundreds and thousands and millions of godly people have lived a very quiet, unknown life, but the Lord has taken notice their life. I can think some of my own personal experience in my short life. People who served. Read through the New Testament. When I come across names like Archicus and some such names, they are the people who are behind the scene. They are not noticed. Nobody preached about them, but they are the faithful ones who served. Brothers and sisters, You may not be noticed. You may not be on the bulletin. You may not be on the front pages. But be faithful. My God and my Savior, He takes note. I get excited when I read those names. I try to find out, what did they do? Not much is given. But they were the backbones of the first century church. Simply don't think Peter and Paul were the backbones. There are a number of people who are the backbones of the church who lived very quietly. That's number one. Mind your own business. 21st century, it is very hard with the WhatsApp and all kinds of things to mind your business. That simply doesn't mean don't worry, think about others. It doesn't mean that you should not care for others, pray for others, support others, encourage others. It's not that what he's saying. Don't get into somebody's business which is not your business. That's what Paul says. I was surprised when I was reading that. Wow, it's not a new problem. It's been around for 2,000 years. Some of the churches have been split because of this. People won't mind their business. And then he says, to work with your own hands. If you don't work, don't eat. As Christians, our responsibility is not to sit back and enjoy, but work with your own hands while waiting for the coming of the Savior. I have 2 minutes left. Go to chapter 5. I won't take much time there. Paul talks about 15 things that you and I should be doing while waiting for the coming of Christ. 14 things I have noted down. The whole chapter is talking, most of the chapter is talking about that from verse up to verse 23. He says, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, don't render evil for evil, follow that which is good, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Don't limit it on Thanksgiving Day. In everything, give thanks every single day of your life. Quench not the spirit by your words, by your actions, by your thoughts. Don't quench the spirit of God that is indwelling in you. Very often, my problem is this. I don't know about you. I often forget the spirit of God is indwelling in me. What I say, what I think, what I do, He is right there looking at me. Don't quench the spirit, Paul says. Despise not prophetic utterances, or despise not the word of God that He has been taught to you or preached to you. Do not despise it. Despise doesn't mean just making mocking, just ignoring it, or don't do anything about it. Any fashion of despise you do to God's word is not acceptable according to Paul. Prove all things. Well, there's many things to be said. Hold fast while proving, hold fast that which is good. And the last one is, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, if you look at these two passages, the verse 11 of chapter 4 and the entire chapter 5, in between, Paul puts the rapture of the church. Yes, we are supposed to be looking for the coming of the Lord, but we are not supposed to sit around and do nothing. We are supposed to be working, living, serving people until the Lord comes. Some example the Lord Himself gave. There will be two men in the field. What are they doing? Sitting around and chit-chatting? No, they are working hard. Paul, the Lord said one will be taken. So what the principle right there I see is they are working. And the two women are grinding the grain, He said. And what they are not sitting there and talking to each other. They are working. While working, one is taken. The principle is, these people were working people when the Lord came and took them home. Let me ask you this moment, where do you stand? I can only answer to myself. I will not judge any one of you. I hope you will take time to judge yourself. Are you working, serving, living? While we are anticipating His coming, 14 things in verse 15, chapter 5, 3 things in verse 11, and in between is the coming of the Savior. It is our responsibility to be faithful until the last moment. The Lord will come. We will sing one line, maybe two lines of 617 in the Red Hymn Book. 617 in the Red Hymn Book. The first and the last lines to save time.
When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me, face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Last line.
Face to face, so blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ who loves me so, face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Our Father, we come to thy presence. This is our desire, this is our hope. We know that your coming is soon. We love to see you glorious face, face to face. This morning we have been thinking about him in our faith, in our words, in our songs. We were beholding his glory. We long to see that day coming that we will see him face to face. But until then, Lord, we also, through thy word, challenged us to be living in this world until the last day of our life. Help each one of us, including myself, to re-examine our life, where we are in serving and loving him and living for his glory. Commit each one of us to the throne of grace, that we may consider this as we go home, because my Savior is coming. Where shall be before him when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ? If there is anyone in this room who do not know the Savior, Lord, we pray that therefore such souls, that they may come to know the Savior. We give you thanks. Thank you for hearing your prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.